Hey friends, today is episode 42 of the I'm Still Standing podcast. And today's episode features Angela Harrington. She's a Christian life and leadership coach, founder of Broken, Beautiful, Bold online women's ministry, and owner of Reengage, a social media and consulting agency that supports Christian businesses and ministries. All of her endeavors touch over 300,000 people monthly. I strongly suggest you take out your notepads for this one. This episode has been sponsored by the second annual I'm Still Standing Women's Retreat. The retreat will be held from Friday, May 29th till Saturday, May 30th at the Guelph Bible Conference Center. Tickets go on sale in January. Welcome, Angela.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I read on your website that you love to travel. I love to travel too. It's one of my favorite things. What has been your favorite destination so far?
That's like the hardest. That's like asking me my favorite child. Like, we just don't answer that question. destination. I have a real deep spiritual connection with Lake Michigan. So, it's not the furthest I've ever traveled. It's not the most, exotic location I've ever been, but every time I get up to Lake Michigan and I put my feet in the water, we were actually there last week and it was cold and I didn't even care. There's just something about standing on a beach that I have visited for 30 years and knowing that even though it's the same beach, the sand is different and God is still shaping the land. And there's just something very deeply spiritual for that space for me. So if I had to pick a favorite, that's probably it.
That's very interesting. I would have never guessed that's what you would pick. That's very interesting. Cool. Thank you for sharing that. I read a little bit about your testimony on your website. Amazing, amazing testimony. And I would love if you could share a little bit with my listeners about how God took you through that experience of divorce and substance use and victoriously, and how, you know, and then we'll talk, of course, about what you're doing now. But I always think it's good to talk about where we're coming from so people understand, you know, we just don't arrive, like, we're just not here, dropped from heaven.
Yeah, exactly. That's so good, because I think sometimes we see people's middle or their three quarters or their end of their story and we think, that's not me. Like, you know, God is big and amazing, but I'm never going to be there. And so I think it's very wise of you to say, let's go back. So that's what we affectionately call my prodigal season. There was a really hard fall, for lack of a better term. When I was very young, when I got married, I didn't stick to church. I actually, it's kind of a running joke. I joke about it, but it's the truth. I didn't grow up in church. I grew up around church. And so I was a VBS kid, or I would go to my grandmother's for Easter, or, you know, like, I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't get the whole, hey, have a relationship with this dude thing. He was very much, you know, there were Bible stories and there were things, I had a familiarity with it. And so when I hit my teenage years, and went off to college, that didn't go with me. I had some good, strong faith moments, like junior, senior in high school. And then I went off to school and had a whole different group of friends, and just, it wasn't embedded deeply enough that I took it with me. And so at that point in my life, I knew just enough about church to know that that I probably wasn't welcome there, which of course wasn't the truth. But from the very limited perspective of God, that's really what I thought. And so when my marriage fell apart, when I was numbing out with substance use, when I was going out all the time, when I just was really burning the candle at both ends, trying to avoid that hurt, I had no concept of God even being present. Now, here we are many, many years later, and I've done some deep spiritual healing sessions, and I've done a lot of work, and of course I can go back and say, well, yeah, that could have been 100 times worse without God. But in the moment, it just wasn't even on my radar. God just wasn't even on my radar. Like, I didn't, like, I think for the longest time, I felt like God probably loved me, because I was his creation, because I was his child, but he didn't like me very much. So it would just be better if, like, I didn't go to Thanksgiving with that particular heavenly parent. If I didn't show up for that person, if I just kept my distance, it was probably better for everybody. And so it's even very painful to say that now, because I know there were a lot of people who are still in that space, and that's just, it's just a lot of sadness there.
Yeah, for sure. And how did you, that must have been like such a difficult season for you. How did you decide to return to the Father and to his love? Like, how was that process? How did that happen?
Yeah, so it was really interesting because I thought about living right, you know, getting better, you know, getting out of some of the things that I knew were wrong. I thought about that without faith coming into it at all, without God coming into it. So my first thought was, okay, I need to move away and kind of, you know, find some new friends and get out of this environment and go back to school. And so there was kind of a resetting of my life first. I still wasn't even thinking about God at that point. And in hindsight, I was working really, really hard. And for me, that was an escape. So I got rid of the drugs. I got rid of the going out. I got rid of those things and just swapped them for like numbing out with work and school. And I went to nursing school and worked a job and had a couple kids, you know, at home. And I was trying to, so just being super busy. And I met an amazing
switched
guy.
One addiction for another.
One to another, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Like I haven't, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You switch from something that's illegal to something acceptable. Like how many people numb out with TV or electronics or coffee or, you know, wine or things that are like, it doesn't have to be illegal for it to be an addiction and to be unhealthy. So that's what I did. I kind of numbed out with going back to school and bettering myself. Thankfully, I met an amazing guy. And we got married a few years later. And so here I was trying to put together a blended family. I brought my two kiddos with me and was just trying to do the best that we could. And it was a pretty messy divorce. And so there was just a lot of things that weren't healed at that spot. So it's still kind of rough. God still wasn't in the picture from my perspective. Of course he was, but in the moment I didn't see it. And we had friends that invited us to church and we were just like, you know, my husband had kind of grown up the same way I had around the church, but not understanding the intimacy and relationship with God that we can have. And so one day one of my kiddos brought home a paper and says, hey, we're doing this thing for scouts on Sunday in front of the church. Can we go? And my husband are like, yeah, sure. We should do that. We absolutely support our kids. And then I remember being there. We kind of slipped in at the last moment, of course, because I was always late during that season. So the front row seat was like the only one available. So we went down and we sat in the front. First time we'd ever been in the building. And I remember thinking, okay, this isn't too bad. It kind of looks like my grandma's church. I mean, you know, a lot of these people are as old as my grandma. Maybe this isn't so bad. And when we left, it was very much a decision, a conversation between my husband and I that we should go for the kids. That you know, I think the unspoken part is that it probably was too late for us, but if we got them in church and raised them in it, then maybe their life would be different. And we just never stopped going. And of course we always sat in the front because we sat in the front that one time. So even though we've switched churches a couple times, we still sit down front just because that's where God put this. But that has been 15 years, probably.
Wow.
So for 15 years, we got in there and we literally were just showing up because we wanted our kids to get some of it. And we didn't even know what it was. We just wanted them to be there and to learn these things and hopefully avoid some of the pain that we had in our individual lives before we met. Mm-hmm. And of course, the way God works is he just chips away at you. And after a few years, we got into a small group. A Sunday school class. And then we got into a small group that was going through the Bible in 3 years. And it was like a dozen of us and, you know, other couples and out of the church. And once a week we met in somebody's house. And it was a really transformational season for us. And I'm very grateful that God brought us back gradually. Because even 15 years later, there are still some old narrative things that I'm wrestling with, some things that I thought were totally gone. Mm-hmm. False beliefs, you know, just some negative thinking patterns. And I'm telling you what, every time it gets a little hard, those things come up and God is very gracious in giving me 15 years to weed this stuff out because it's so deeply embedded. I think it would have been really traumatic for me to have a like snap your fingers transformation. So I'm just really grateful.
And I don't think it ever really happens like that fully. I think in some areas of our life, it might feel like, you know, it's in a moment, but I think for the deep work, it does take time. It does take time. And I don't think we arrive. I think there's always something somewhere deeper we can go with God, something he needs to heal a little more. There's areas of my life that I thought are like 10, 15 years behind me, and then something will happen, as you said, and it's like, oh, I guess not. It's still, there's something still there, another level of it that just dealt with.
Yeah, and especially for me, what I notice comes up over and over is, you know, my traumatic relationships really lead to a lot of fear and a lot of scarcity mindset. And so I get very worried about things falling apart. I get very worried about being abandoned. I'm also an Enneagram 8. So being abandoned, being unseen, those kind of things are really challenging to me. So when you have a personality type or when you have some traits that are in you, then your trauma reinforces those greatest fears. It's deep work. It's not just like a little bit of work. So it's like going to therapy. It's having a life coach. It's doing spiritual healing sessions. It's having, you know, that private quiet time with God. And it's a lot of snotty tears and really not pretty moments that, you know, doing that deep, deep digging work. So I think you're right. I don't think we ever get totally done. And I think that's okay. I think God wired us that way. Just like we love to see our kids grow and learn things and discover who they are and just the joy of exploration. I really think that's how God wired us. I don't think it's a flaw that we don't ever get there. I think it's just part of being human.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now you have a platform that reaches over 400,000 women worldwide, which is amazing. And you help them in many different ways step out into their gifts and lead. How did this all start?
It's totally a God thing. Because it started when we were on vacation to one of my other favorite places. We were actually on vacation in Maine. We were at Bar Harbor, Maine, at Acadia National Park. And I was literally driving across the island with my daughter in the back. I just dropped off my husband and one of my sons. They were going to go fishing. And so I was driving and listening to Christian music because we'd been back in church for a while at that point. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror and I was singing Amazing Grace. And my daughter was just a few years old at this point. And I remember God saying, "She's watching you. What are you leaving her?" And it wasn't a condemnation. Like, those words could be really snarky and mean. And like, it wasn't coming from that place. It was just like, "Hey, are you paying attention? Because she's paying attention." Like, it was that kind of thing. And so it really kind of shook me. And in, you know, what followed was about a 3 or 4 minute conversation where God said, "I need to call you to ministry. Like, this is who you're supposed to be and you're supposed to write. And this faith thing is something that's supposed to go deeper and deeper and deeper for you." And so that was literally the beginning of it. I'm a verbal processor. I had just dropped my husband off. He was going out on a boat in the middle of the ocean to fish. I couldn't talk to him. Drove back to where we were staying, pulled out a notebook, pulled out a pen, and just started writing. And the ironic part about this is prior to that day, the only writing I did was the grocery list. And I say that as a joke and with all seriousness. Like, I didn't even keep a journal. I hadn't written in years and years. And through some of this healing work that I've done, I remember that one of the ways I processed some heartaches that I had in middle school and early high school was by writing. But there was some point where that just got closed off and shut off. And so now, 8, 9 years later, after God has called me this ministry into the writing, I'm recognizing that that's something that has always been in there. And it was life that taught me to put it away and not God. Wow. And so I started with blogging. I didn't know who it was for. I didn't even know how to blog. I didn't have Facebook. I mean, it just literally started with nothing except for the call from God. And I started taking classes. I'm kind of a geeky nerd. I love learning. I love numbers. So I was like, okay, we can figure this out. So I found some people who were teaching social media and I learned it and I figured out how to make it work for me. Found people who were teaching blogging, figured out how, you know, it would work for me. And then people started coming to me and saying, hey, how are you doing this? You know, 8 years ago, there weren't a lot of big name Christian bloggers. You know, Christians are a little slow on using social media for outreach. And so people started noticing and they're like, hey, how did you do this? You know, you don't have a book, you don't have a radio show, or, you know, you're not part of Women of Faith. How did you build this audience? And so that's what kind of opened the door for the social media agency. They were saying, you know, it was kind of control. It was consulting at first. They're like, teach me how to do this. And then I would come across some people that would say, don't even teach me, just do it for me. So I ended up with the kind of the coaching and the consulting role. And time after time after time, what I had noticed when working with people in all of those different roles is that there's so much imposter syndrome and there's so much mindset struggle and there's so much generational curses and just so much junk that gets in our way, that when God calls us to do something, either as our kind of our side hustle or as our primary vocation, it gets really messy because we're not just selling widgets. We're not saying, hey, buy this pencil. And there's, you know, if you don't buy it, it's no big deal. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Like, we're saying, God told me this to tell you. And then we're waiting to see how the world responds to us. And it can be brutal. Oh. So I went back to school at that point, got a life coaching certification, also ended up getting a bachelor's in biblical studies and picked up a master's in leadership from Wesley Seminary.
So, you just picked up that master's, girl. Good for
just
you.
Just picked up a master's. Whew. That master's back killed me. That's a whole different episode.
I love how you said picked it up.
That's amazing. Yeah, that master's degree about killed me. Not because of the school, just, you know, the school was great. It just, it was hard. Transformative is too soft of a word for that 2.5 years, because I did it at a 2.5 year accelerated thing, and it was crazy. All of these different things have really brought me to this place of, you know, we have a 6-figure social media agency. I do coaching and consulting. And what's been really beautiful is so many of these pieces have seemed disconnected. Like, why do I have a social media agency and you want me to blog? Like, God, how does that work? Mm-hmm. And what I've seen over the last year is a really beautiful, almost a calling home, not in a like funeral death way, but like a homecoming, where God is saying, okay, you have all this knowledge, you've worked with all these people, here's where I want you to use it. Mm. And it's like, that's where that fits. And that's where that fits. And that's where that fits. And it's all kind of coming together. But I can't help people answer their calling until I get really solid in my own. And so that's kind of been this, like, you know, they say that you're usually only a couple steps ahead of the people that you serve. And that is very, very true. For me, where a couple steps ahead is all I've been. And so now I can look at my path over the last 8 years, and just about any woman who's called to leadership in any capacity within the church, in the entrepreneurial world, in the online space, in her family, at like in the community, in volunteer, like whatever it is, I've got little pieces that I can use to connect with them and to really help them discover where they're getting tripped up. So it's fun. It's so much fun. And it's a kind of a mashup of being a pastor, being a teacher, being a consultant, being a life coach. Like it's very unique. It's very, very unique to my experience, which I think is something I'm super grateful for.
Yeah. And I think it's so necessary for this time. Like when you're just speaking, even for me, I'm like, wow, I need to talk to you offline. you know, there's so, because usually, you know, for someone like myself, who's ministry, like all those different pieces coming together, yeah. The podcast is like, okay, God, like, what do you know, how is this going to all work? It's hard for some of us to figure out, okay, who can we even talk to? Because we don't talk to a business.
Right.
They might not get some of the spiritual stuff and ministry. They're just like, make that money. Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, so this is a really timely, I love how God set you up for this time of social media, of online entrepreneurship, and as a church, I find is coming so much more into it now. It's just really good timing. Really, really good.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a very long and winding road from my perspective, and I'm just now getting to the place where it's like, duh, God knew where you were going the whole time. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a question of, is this how it's supposed to be? It's a question of, okay, now that we're here, what do we get to do with it? And that, I think, is, even in the last few months, that's been the biggest shift in my business. Really honing in on who it is that we're called to speak to as a company and who it is I'm called to speak to. So, you know, I can teach ads, I can do Facebook ads for you, but if you're not in the right industry, then it's not going to be a good fit. So if you're selling widgets and there's not any faith component to what you do or why you do it, then you really don't need me as the pastor, as the consultant with the pastoral experience, to come in and talk to you, right? Like it's very interesting. So I do work with some churches. I work with some bloggers and other nonprofits. I've been donating a little bit of time. We've got election coming up. I've donated a little bit of time to local candidates who I know need the technical part, but I also know that there's that spiritual alignment. So it's really interesting. Like it's so interesting to see who God is bringing in and how all the different pieces of me and all the different preparations that he sent us through as a company are coming together.
Mm-hmm. Nothing was in vain.
Right. Even the stuff I messed up, because guess what? Now when my clients mess up the same thing, they don't feel so bad. Mm-hmm. And I can say, hey, don't worry about it. You can recover. Like, mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
I love the way God does things. I love it. I love it. We're like, what? We don't get it until, you know, that moment where we're like, oh, okay, Lord, completely makes sense now, you know? So
yeah,
you're walking in this. It's really, really necessary. And do you work with people worldwide, virtually as well?
I do. Actually, the majority. So here's, for anybody who's starting a project or a ministry, here's something that's, you'll probably find is true. I had to go outside of my community when I first started because my community wasn't ready for me. And I'd only been in this community for a few years, so it's not like I burned any bridges or anything. It's just the ideas that God was giving me, people just weren't there yet. And so I actually went outside of my community online and did everything 100% online for a few years. I did a couple of local events. I did a little speaking, like all that. And part of the homecoming is over the last year to year and a half, I'm really sensing God say, no, pay attention. This ministry wants to talk to you, or this person, or they're like, and really getting to reinvest. So we've been in the same community as a family. We've been here for like 18 years. So we're invested in the community, but I can't tell you how many times a week people who I've known for a couple of years will say, now what is it you do? or they'll see me share something on Facebook. They're like, oh, I didn't know you had that. Or I didn't know you did that. And so it's really fun to watch that start to unfold more. Because, you know, if we can't change our own community, we can't impact our neighbors. Mm-hmm. Are we really fully embracing what God has for us?
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. In my circles, I notice, at least in, although my circle does spread further than Toronto, God is letting me connect with a lot of women from all over the world. So I notice women are making huge waves in ministry.
Yeah.
Huge. Like most of the people I know who are starting up ministries, who are really making an impact, are all women. I actually don't know many men right now, personally. I'm sure mm-hmm. they're out there that are doing new things. All the people I know are women. But often I notice it's on a grassroots level. We're just trying to, you know?
I have a theory about that. Do you want to hear my theory about why women
are
exploding?
Like, what do you think is going on, and what are your recommendations? Like, sometimes people they feel like they might not have much support from the body of Christ or even their own churches. Thankfully, my church and my pastors are really, really, really supportive, but I know they really don't have the support. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so my theory, my master's thesis was about It has a really long, boring academic title. I'm not even going to try to spit it out. Because you have to write those things a certain way, and they're not very user-friendly. But basically, the point was, do women in the U.S. church have access to mentoring and to leadership roles? So are we developing leaders? Are we developing women as leaders in the church? And are we giving them the opportunity to step into leadership roles? And the answer is a resounding no. Like with capital letters, in most cases, we're not. Okay. So here's what I love about the online world. I truly believe that online ministry, and I do look at, this is digital outreach. This is what I call it, digital outreach. This is probably the only mission field in the world where women have equal footing.
Wow.
I really, really, really believe that. If you look at some of the junk that's been thrown at Beth Moore over the last couple of years, you'll understand. And Beth Moore still comes from a pretty complementarian view, but is starting to really kind of push against that and say, no, actually, I think men and women have, you know, equal stance. Like, she hasn't come right out and said that, but she's in the Southern Baptist Convention, which is really, really, really restrictive. Is a nice word, really restrictive to women, in a way that's unbiblical. If your listeners aren't sure about that, if you've never, here's the thing is most of us women don't even know that that is unbiblical because it's what everybody who has a Bible is teaching. The Junia Project, J-U-N-I-A, Junia Project is a great website to go to. You can also go to the Wesleyan Holiness Women Clergy Group, CBE, as Christians for Biblical Equality. Those are some great places. If you're listening to this and nobody's ever taught you that men and women are actually equal in the eyes of God, including being able to preach, teach, and lead within the walls of the church, go check out those websites or go to my website and fill out the contact form and shoot me an email and I'll send you a whole bunch of links. Because online, you don't have a patriarchal hierarchy that says, hey, Angela, you're a woman. Don't talk about God. Talk about God to your kids. Talk about God to yourself, to your sisters, to your friends who are women, but don't stand up and talk about it. Like, don't get behind the pulpit. And so we haven't had access in a lot of, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, we have not had access to do the thing that God is calling us to do. And so now I can get on my phone and I can set up a WordPress blog, and you better believe that I can preach from this thing. I'm still going to get some criticism, but I'm not going to get excommunicated from the church.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of women who are told that teaching or preaching or speaking the word of God, even if it's not behind a pulpit, speaking the word of God with authority when men are present is a sin that goes against God and will be punished.
Oh my goodness. I'm so happy. I personally have never experienced that, but I do thankfully, I shouldn't say that fully because there are some things I've heard in my circle, but it's just so sad because I think that that kind of thinking holds us back so much.
Absolutely.
In progressing, because if we've been called to do something and that man has been called to do it and we decide not to do it because, you know, of this oppression, then obviously the world is missing out and we're not doing what God has called us to do. It's disobedience, really.
Absolutely. It's disobedience, but we're being taught that showing up the way God says to show up, that's disobedience. And so you have just generations of women who are being raised with this conflicting, like, who do I listen to? Do I listen to God? Or do I listen to the local spiritual authority who I've been told, here's God better than I do? And that's where it gets really messy and slippery. And so a lot of times I think women do have a call to Christian business or Christian ministry or even to be in the pulpit. And we discount it and think that it's something we're doing just for us. Like, oh, I just want to do that, but it goes against God. So that's actually sinful. And I need to just work that out instead of chasing that. And it just gets really, really messy. So I think that is, I'm fully convinced, especially after seeing the backlash a few weeks ago, when Beth Moore was, when they laughed at Beth Moore and told her to go home, and compared her ministry, and you know, she's reached millions of women. And what has come out over the last few weeks is how instrumental she has been in some of the younger women who are preaching, how she has behind the scenes privately mentored and coached and raised up the next generation. For her to be ridiculed in a public church setting like that, in a meeting, in a conference, you know, whatever you want to call that setting, that shows what women are up against. And it really, we're not as limited online. So I think authors are the same way. I think the Christian authors and bloggers and online ministry and, you know, the people who do this work online, we have a lot more freedom because we're building our own system. It's kind of a for the people, by the people system. Mm. Whereas the church hasn't always been that way. It's how it's supposed to be, but it hasn't always been that way. So the door is open. You know, you can go set up a free blog today and start putting the words that God has put on your heart out into the world. Now, you still have to do the work. You still have to check with him. You still have to, like, do some self-regulation and get some discerning friends and some prayer partners. And, like, don't just, like, go totally maverick and just make stuff up. Yeah. But you have the ability to build a platform that for hundreds, even thousands of years, has been controlled by Caucasian, wealthy, highly educated people of a ruling class. That's a big deal. Like, that's more revolutionary than the printing press ever was.
Wow, I love that observation, because I'm like, you know, what's going on? It's amazing. It's just like a flood of women doing just amazing works of God. And I love that observation because I think it is true. I'm seeing so many more women authors in the Christian arena, so many more women speakers. Just, it's just exploding. It really is. And I'm going to ask you what your thoughts are around, like, someone who is struggling and feels like they're being kept in a box, this box of expectations, even people who might not even belong to a denomination that's necessarily oppressive in that way. But even so, I mean, I grew up in the Pentecostal church in Canada, and it's been evangelical. It's been pretty, you know, open towards women. I've always had women preachers and stuff growing up, but still, even so, there's this underlying thought that there's certain roles, like, you're supposed to have children, you need to be married at this time. Like, there's, like, certain things that are still expected. So what are your thoughts around that? Like, how can someone break away from those roles and really go after who God's called them to be?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we've got to acknowledge is that our number one calling is to sit at the feet of Jesus every day, and everything else comes from the overflow of what he pours out on us. So if you're kind of feeling the tension between who I am now and who I think I'm supposed to be, or, you know, if there's some sort of question mark for you, which, I mean, I'm going to be honest, for most of us, there always is. So don't feel weird if you're like, yeah, I'm not really sure how to do this. I'm the odd man out. Nobody in my community does, like, all those things. Even though you feel like you're the only one and you feel like an outsider, you're probably not. No. It just means that you're not surrounded by people who are being really honest with you about their own struggles. So I would really encourage you to do a couple things. First is make sure that that number one calling, sitting at the feet of Jesus every day, is your priority, okay? Because he's not going to lead you wrong. He's not going to send you down a path that's wrong. The second thing is, this is going to sound a little snarky, so take it with grace, right? You may have to get some new friends. You may have to surround yourself with different people. Doesn't mean throw your other people away. It just means you have to look at who you're listening to. And I do this on a regular basis, especially on social. It's really easy, okay? Mm-hmm. It's really easy for you to go out and find other voices to listen to. Do an inventory. Go through your newsfeed. And just, you know, I don't know, scroll 5 times or something, pick a random number and just look at those top posts. Think about, kind of digest what type of energy, what type of presence, what type of attitude those posts are putting into your newsfeed.
That's good. That's really good.
And then ask if it's from God, because sometimes the people that surround us, we don't always recognize when they bring stuff with them that's not from God. And you can come on here and you can find some people who seem like they're really amazing and you're following them. But if you actually take a little baby step back and you look at how they respond to controversy. Look at how they respond to Kanye West. Look at how they respond to Beth Moore. Look at how they responded to the death of Toby Mac's son. Like, look at these things. Are they being jerks? like, I don't even care if you agree with it. I'm not saying you have to agree with everybody in your newsfeed. Mm-hmm. But are they being jerks? Are they stirring up hate and aggression and judgment and just really being negative Nellies? Or are they saying, you know what, this is not something I understand. This is not something I understand, but I'm willing to listen. Like, that's a huge difference. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you're surrounded with people who are jumping in with judgment and jumping in with negativity and always stirring up crap, I guarantee some of that crap's getting on you, whether you know it or not. And if you start taking a little baby step back from it and filling those spaces with people who are coming in with love and grace and humility and wisdom and kindness and gratitude and all those other beautiful fruits of the spirit, you're going to notice a shift.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, especially when God has given you a dream or a vision that sometimes we have to guard because we might not be so sure of it right away. But, and then if you have people that are suddenly, you know, as soon as they hear it, like, no, like putting it down or casting their fear and doubt on it, it can be really.
Exactly. Difficult. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, and this is a hard word. Sometimes the people who love you the most and know everything about you are going to have the hardest time with your transformation because they want it for you and they're also scared of getting hurt. Because right, like when I was in my prodigal season, the people who loved me most, those were the ones that got hurt. So of course when I'm like, I'm going back to school, I'm gonna do all these things, they were like, okay, we'll see. All right, like we'll see. And it doesn't mean that they don't love you. It just means that they've been really close before and maybe they've gotten hurt mm-hmm. either by you or by other people. Okay. Yeah. You have to disconnect that from the belief in yourself about whether or not you're doing the right thing. Okay. If God calls you to something and all the people in your life say, what? Are you crazy? You have to be able to check those. What are you crazy? And like, okay, they just don't see it.
Yeah.
Instead of it being, oh, well, everybody who knows me really well is telling me that this is a bad idea. Maybe they're right. And I just heard wrong. Like, mm-hmm. I can't even tell you how many times I've said, I wonder if I heard that wrong.
Oh my goodness.
Because I was listening to the wrong people.
Same here. Oh my goodness.
Right? We hear God right. And then everything after that, we don't. It's not good. And we get it all mixed up. So I think if you're in that place where you're just not sure, you got to go to the feet of Jesus and from the feet of Jesus, look around and be like, okay, who's not here with me? Right?
Yeah.
Who's not hearing what I'm hearing? And don't build up resentment and hate. You gotta give people grace. Like, if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus and clearly hearing what he's calling you to do and nobody else is hearing it, that should stir up a little bit of sadness that nobody else is hearing it. That's okay. It doesn't mean that you hate everybody that doesn't hear it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And sometimes it's just like I've had to do it, readjust friendships. It's not that you stop talking to people. You know, they just might not get it right now. So maybe you wouldn't go to them with, you know, what God's telling you because you don't want to put those precious, I really believe they're precious dreams and visions from him. You don't want to risk that. So maybe you won't tell them, but you'll tell your new friends that might be in ministry, for example, or, you know, so it's just readjusting
exactly those relationships. you need a tight circle. You need a tight, tight circle. A couple of people tops, maybe, I would say, you know, maybe five max. And these are people who understand that you may act weird because you're going to be following God.
Yeah.
They're not going to be trying to talk you into taking a huge client who sells something that's totally against you, because they'll be like, yeah, like you said with business coaches earlier, right? You have clients all the time that are like, man, I feel like I should really do this, but it's going to cost me a ton of money. What should I do? And my question is, what's God telling you to do? Mm-hmm. You know, we're making huge shifts in our business that are costing us a ton of money. Ooh, but it's hard to say that. I've walked away from clients, potential clients who I love, like, even now I'm just like, God, are you sure? Are you sure I can't go back 6 months later and say, I'd love to work with you? Mm-hmm. But it was very clear that in the long term, God was sending us a different direction. And so you just have to find those people who are more concerned with listening to God than they are to, like, be your friend, if that makes sense. They're more concerned about whether or not you're doing what God calls you to do than they are about making you happy. And when you find those people, you better hold on, because that's worth millions of dollars and time and energy and all those other resources. You find those people and you get them in your inner circle and treat them well.
Yeah.
Because they're the best prophets and advisors you're ever going to have.
Amen. I completely 100% agree with everything you said about that, because I've personally experienced that. And yeah, you're completely right. It's amazing to have, and completely vital to have that support and to have that inner circle. Completely.
Yeah. Completely. And don't be afraid to get help. Don't be afraid to go out and pay for help. Don't be afraid to hire coaches or consultants or to go get a therapy. Oh my goodness, guys, Christians in therapy, we don't get that right either. Go get some good therapy. Go to healing sessions. Go to retreats. Go to conferences. Do the work. And don't feel shameful about investing in yourself, because you're actually investing in a whole lot more than just you. You just may not see it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And that's what I'm Still Standing is all about, actually, is investing in us and letting God heal us so that we can be who he's called us to be firstly, because he loves us regardless if we do anything or not, and also do what he's called us to do, which impacts our communities, our families, the future, like the impact ripples, right? So it's to look at it that way. I completely agree. If we want to know more about you and what you do, and if we want to connect with you, how do we find you?
Yeah, so the easiest way to find me is AngelaJHarrington.com is my website. You can also find me on Facebook at Angela J. Harrington. I'm on Instagram. I've actually been on there a little more lately. I'm starting to really like it. I didn't have a very big community there, and now I'm starting to get a good community, and just I love hanging out over there. But Facebook is the easiest way. If you want to read some encouraging posts, I've also got BrokenBeautifulBold.com. I think we've got like 500 posts on there now from a variety of writers, and a lot of those are about transformation and, you know, digging out and just different seasons of life. So there's AngelaJHarrington.com is all my writing. Broken Beautiful Bold has, I think, probably 10 or 15 different bloggers that we've had on there over the years. So there's lots of variety of story there too. So any of those places are good. Standing for so long, I forget I stand tall.
Standing tall.